You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Hey, I want to tell you a secret, church. If you're new here, my name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here. But if you're new, you might not have found out yet that we have an incredible team. An amazing worship team, incredible ushers and kids pastors and youth pastors and all this stuff. And about every 3 weeks, I don't preach, someone else from my team does. And we're so blessed because Pastor Jed, he's our associate pastor here, and he's an amazing teacher, an amazing preacher, and you are super blessed to have him today. So can we give Pastor Jed, it's always difficult, isn't it, when you give a person a hand. It's like, well, we praised God, so we've got to keep it below that, but above boring, right? And so can we give Pastor Jed the right amount of hand clap to thank him for coming to preach this morning? So thank you, Pastor Jed.
Thank you.
You didn't tell him what?
Well, I didn't tell him that last week we said that it would be the end of the prayer series, and then this week I said, hey, Jed, do another one on prayer. Yeah, right. But they'll find out.
I'll tell him. That's right. So good morning, church. How are you? I'm not going to make you stand the whole time, so you can go ahead and take a seat. Pastor Jesse was right, though. So last week, I believe from this stage, he said, hey, we are done in the prayer series. And I'm here to tell you that, unfortunately, that was not true, because I'm here today, and we're going to preach a little bit on prayer. Is that okay with everybody? Good. What an awesome morning of worship so far, yeah? It's a big day today. It's a big day today. So two services this morning. I'm just privileged to preach at both services today. That's going to be fantastic. We have our Next Steps class. Everybody say Next Steps. 4 o'clock today, Next Steps. Brad Thomas spoke about it. If you have not taken the Next Steps class, we would love to see you at 4 o'clock today. If you're just itching to find out more about the church, more about Jesus, more about how you're gifted, more about how you can use those gifts, where you can serve in this church, how you can connect, Next Steps is the place for you. We would love to see you there, okay? So then after that, thank you, Tyler, you're listening, that's good. And so then after that, 5:30, we have our third service. I don't know how many of y'all have been to our third services. Those things are just incredible. We'd love to see you there, 5:30, amazing worship, which we have here in the mornings, communion, an incredible time. So come to Next Steps if you haven't. Go upstairs and get a free coffee from Nate and his team, and hang around at 5:30 for the third service. We'd love to have you. And of course, it's a big game today. There's a big game today. No skin in that game. I'm pleased to announce that I have still not given in to the trouncing that my Packers took 2 weeks ago. So in my mind, they're playing in the Super Bowl later today. And then that means I don't even have to watch because I know that in my mind, they're going to win. And that's because denial is an incredible thing. Brad, you can say shake your head yes to that, right? You wish they were there too. All right. Good. Well, welcome to church. Again, if you didn't catch it from Jesse, my name is Jed, associate pastor here, and just stoked to be with you today. The past few times I've preached, I've started my sermons with a funny story from the cabin in the country. For those of you who don't know, my family and I, right now we live in this great little cabin out in the country. And it's fantastic. And I don't have a funny story. Say, aw, right? I don't, aw, come on. This side over here, aw, give it to me. Yeah, need a little response. We're a responsive church, yeah? So I don't have a funny story, but I have maybe like a little cute snapshot. Is okay if I just share a little cute snapshot? Okay, so Haven is our 20-month-old, and the other day she was climbing on the couch. And she climbed up to the window, and she's looking out the window, and she, you know, her face is like an inch from it, or her lips are pressed up against it, right? She's out, and so we're surrounded by wilderness and fields and animals, and so she's like right up there, and so she's mooing. Moo, you know, she's just little, and she makes big moo. And it's just incredible. I see a little 20-month-old mooing. It's fantastic. There's no cows out there. She was mooing at two cardinals standing next to the tree. We have high hopes for her. idea. But you know what? When you're 20 months old and you're making animal noises, whether or not you correctly assign the noise to the correct animal does not matter, right? Can I get an amen to that? Good. All right. Turn to your neighbor and say, what are you seeking? And turn to the next, the other side and say, what are you asking for? Right. We're going to talk about what we're asking for and what we're seeking today. I confused some of you over here. It's left and right, so it's okay. I'm going to read a scripture. This is from Matthew. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew. I'm going to start in Matthew 6. And we're going to read for just a little bit, but I'm going to start in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. These are the words of Jesus. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, even the cardinals that the kids moo at. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Amen. Are you not much more valuable than they? Yes, you are, church. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was just like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass in the field, which is here today and tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? The pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows that you need them. But check this out. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow's going to worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How many of you know each day has enough trouble of its own, yeah? And here we're saying, do not worry, because your God knows you and he knows what you need and he is going to take care of you. Somebody say amen to that, because it's good. We're going to keep going now in Matthew 7. Start in verse 7. Ask. Somebody say ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks, and we talk about seek ye first the kingdom of God. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. For which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give you a snake? If you then, though you're evil and know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Lord God, as we hear, Lord, what you have to say to us today, give us open ears and a reminder in our hearts that wells up that you see us and that you know us and that you love us and that you take care of us. And everybody said, amen. Can I just tell you how excited I am about what God is doing? Just how, like, utterly excited I am about what God is doing. And I just want to take a moment and encourage you that the incredible things that are happening as God builds his kingdom are absolutely mind-blowing. As God builds his kingdom, as God builds his church, he's doing incredible things amongst us. Some of us see it all the time. They're happening not just in this place, but they're happening in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our towns, in our schools. As believers in Jesus, we see these things happening. And it's incredible. You see, as a pastor, I get this front row seat, like an all-star ticket, right? To be on the front lines with people in their lives as they're going through whatever they're going through. I've been a pastor almost now for a year. I spent 15 years in the business world. And it's been an incredible 10 months. I mean, an incredible 10 months. So 10 months since I absolutely nuclear bombed my career and took a hard turn and became a pastor, right? And it's incredible. When you become a pastor, you're immediately on the front lines of people's lives. Like, you are right there. You're right there with them on the front line of what they're going through. The goods, the bads, the uglies. I'm not calling y'all goods, bads, or uglies. I'm calling the circumstances good, bad, and ugly, right? And I'm talking about being right there beside folks as they face the up and downs of life. And it's an incredible privilege to be there. But there's this interesting thing that kind of takes place. So you're on the front lines with people right there as they're going through whatever they're going through. But in my case, because I was in the business world for 15 years, right, you kind of get extracted a little bit from kind of the front line of like life, of like what's happening. You get kind of pulled out of that a little bit. I'm no longer spending my days in the workplace. I'm no longer in the midst of my career and everything that goes with it. I've been pulled out of that big picture a little bit. And I get this incredible perspective, and I get to see all the incredible stuff that's happening. You know, sometimes when you're in the middle of the forest, and it's hard to see, right? It's hard to see what's really happening. But you need to know, and somebody needs to hear this. You need to know right now, right where you are, amazing things are happening in your workplace, in your business, in your community, in your schools. And I mean it, they're happening right under our noses. You may not always see them, but I'm here to tell you, God's doing incredible things in you and through you as he builds his kingdom. And we're to seek that, as it is said in Matthew, right? We're to seek his kingdom first, yeah? And someone in here needs to know that if you believe in Jesus, then right now, right where you are in ministry right now where you are doing the work of the Lord. Somebody needs to hear that this morning, and I think I've needed to hear that several times in my life, especially when I was in the business world. When you meet Jesus and you make him the Lord of your life, you step into life and life abundantly, amen, and you also step into ministry. You just do. When I gave up my career, I didn't give up my career so then I could start doing ministry as a pastor, right? Ministry was already taking place. God was already working right where I was. And sometimes I saw it, and sometimes I didn't see it. But if you're a believer becoming more and more like Jesus every day, then he's going to do incredible things in you and through you right where you are. Right? Make fertile ground right where you are because he is building his kingdom, right? He's building his church. And I get this incredible perspective, and it's amazing at the multi-layered, generationally impactful effects that folks like you and me can have right where we are. Incredible, God-glorifying things, amen? And I know it's sometimes hard to see, but perspective is an incredible thing. It's amazing how he uses us and the good works that he gives us to do. And sometimes the things that he asks us to do or the opportunities that he gives us or that he puts in front of us to say either yes or no to. I've been dragging my rear end out of bed at 4 a.m. for the past 3 weeks every day. Why, you may ask? It's a heck of a question. Because it's very, very, very early to do that. I didn't even know there was a 4 a.m. before 3 weeks ago. I don't think I even knew that. Somebody's saying, clapping and saying, yeah. Every week, 5 days a week for 3 weeks now, I've been working out at 5 a.m. I've been working out. Somebody can clap to that. It's a big deal. Come on now. I know you might not, you look at my hulking physique and you might think, well, shoot, you've been working out for years, obviously. But no, to your and my surprise, that's not the case. I didn't set a New Year's resolution. I didn't join a challenge of some sorts, and those are pretty cool. It's pretty simple. Because why would I do that? Here's why. I was asked to do it. Somebody asked me, a dude at church has a good-sized gym in his garage, and so he was asking another fella from the church just to start working out with him at 5 a.m. in the morning. And this other fella starts running his mouth and says, we should ask Pastor Jed if he would join us too. So they did. And I'm like, I don't think so. But this other fella, even though he runs his mouth, is kind of wise. And so he talks to my wife. Now, I don't know how many of you have met my wife, but you would know that if she looks you in the eye and she said, hey, I think you should take a shovel and I think you should just start digging until you reach the center of the earth. You look at her and you'd say, yeah, she's probably hearing from the Holy Spirit. I guess I better go ahead and do that. She's just the kind of woman she is. She says, hey, I think you should do something. You're like, yeah, man, you're hearing from God. I'm quite sure. Probably should start doing this. So 5 days a week, I wake up at 4 a.m. I drag myself to the sink and I splash some water on my face. I get ready. I mix a bunch of powdery protein in a bottle with milk because I guess that's what you have to do if you're going to work out. So I'm told. And I drive 30 minutes to this fella's house, and we work out. And you know what? It's been awesome. It's been absolutely awesome. I've never really been a workout guy. I don't really like going to the gym. I'm kind of intimidated. Pastor Jesse hits the gym pretty hard. He's been on me to get fit for a little bit. When I say a little bit, a long time. He's been whispering into my ear, but it never took, right? I was never like, yes, I'm going to say yes to this. And I was talking with the fellas that I work out with the other day, and I was just asking, why have I said yes to this, first of all? Why have I been going consistently every day? Why am I looking forward to it the night? Why do I get up 4 a.m., drive in the dark? It's dark, man, at 4 a.m. Why am I doing this? Because I know that if I was doing this and if I was going to a gym just knowing myself, man, I would have come up with like 3 or 4 excuses by now. Easily 3 or 4 not to go. And I was like, asking, why? Why am I doing this? And I came to the conclusion, it's because this buddy of mine has opened his home to me. And he asked me to do this. And God laid it on his heart to start working out with a few fellows in the morning. And he asked me. And the three of us start working out. And we go and we do these things. We work out for an hour. We chat for a few minutes afterwards about our day. And then we pray. And then the neighbor guy shows up. And the neighbor guy comes over. And now we're a foursome. And he starts working out with us. And he's there, and we're praying, and it's great. And God's been speaking into our lives. And I don't know what else is going on in that neighborhood. I have no idea. I can't see half of it because it's dark when I get there anyway. But I know that at about 4:45 a.m., 5 days a week, there's a light that goes on in my friend's garage. And people show up at his house, and there's kingdom-building work that's happening. In that garage. And it's incredible to take part in that. As my friend was feeling a tug to do something and to work out and to be accountable to guys and do that, and he wanted it to be more than just working out. And so he asks people and he seeks first the kingdom of God, saying, God bless this thing that I'm going to do. And he invites people over and it starts. So be encouraged. There's incredible work being done right where you are right now. Right now. So you think about the kingdom of God. What are you seeking? What are you asking for? I've come to the conclusion in my life that one of the biggest stumbling blocks of my faith, 39 years I've been in this world, one of the biggest stumbling blocks has been my inability to approach God and ask for things. It's been one of the biggest stumbling blocks in my faith. I can clearly look back at my life even when I was young, and I can clearly see a reluctance to ask God for things. Just a complete reluctance for me to approach him and ask for things. And by and large, my thought process went something like this. I really want something, and it could have been anything, right? I want something, or I want something to happen, but I shouldn't ask for it. I shouldn't ask for it. Why should I get it in somebody else's? Shouldn't get it. Why should I ask for this? And maybe I'm not even really worthy to be asking for this anyway. And so I wouldn't even bother asking. Why should I receive a blessing or a gift and someone else doesn't? They're just as worthy, if not more, than I am. And I am no better or deserving than they are. And so for a long time, I wrestled with this in my mind. I was, why do I have this stumbling block? And as I would think through it, I finally worked it up in my mind that it must be humility, right? I must just be being humble. I was convinced of it. Not in like a puffed up sort of like, wow, I'm so humble sort of way. Look at all the things that I'm denying myself because, you know, and maybe there was a little of that. But I really don't think that's what it was. I just concluded that humility was the driving force behind it. And it was behind see how warped this is. My humility was behind my reluctance to approach my father and ask him for things. How much sense does that make? Right? I was placing others before myself. And interestingly enough, because they're connected, the same thought process and approach played out in my ability, or rather my inability, to receive gifts well, at all. Someone would give me something and I would do my best to be a gracious receiver on the outside, but inside I was achingly uncomfortable. Achingly uncomfortable. Hoping for the moment to pass quickly. My thank yous were filled with lots of, you didn't need to do that. And you really shouldn't have. Those were my thank yous. And in the process, I was completely failing to honor the person who'd given me the gift, even though I was trying to honor them by showing just how undeserving I felt that I was at the gift that they were giving me. That's warped, right? That doesn't make sense, but I know that that resonates with some folks. You see, when someone gives you something, and hear this, when someone gives you something, they already see you as somebody who's appropriate to receive what they're giving you. That's already how they view you. They already perceive that the gift or the thing that they're giving you would be a good thing in your life. And oh, by the way, they may have been inspired to give it to you as well, because maybe it's for a purpose. So it's already been a faith builder to that person. The problem for me in the gift receiving area was twofold. I didn't see myself as the giver saw me. I didn't see myself as the giver saw me. And I didn't honor what God was doing in the life and the walk of the giver. So I was actually working against what God was doing, meaning that I wasn't in his will, right? For too long, I felt like all I was doing was trying to swim upstream. Has anybody ever felt like that in this? Just trying to swim upstream. It's difficult. And I felt that way because that's exactly what I was doing. I was trying to swim against the current of God, but God's economy is not like the world's economy. His ways are not like our ways. He's the God that looks at the one that everyone else looks over, turns away from, or shields their eye from. He's the God that looks at that one and says, yeah, that one. I want that one. I will move heaven and earth to get that one. But I take that same mindset that I have in gift receiving, and I act that same way when it comes to whether or not I ask God for things. And when I do that, we're no longer talking about just damaging somebody else's faith. We're talking about, like, damaging your own. Now it's all about me. My inability to approach God and ask for things. Total self-sabotage, right? Total self-sabotage. But here's the thing. Catch this. When we know who we are, son or daughter of the Most High, holy and dearly loved, knitted together in your mother's womb, created with works in advance for you to do. That's all Bible. I'm not making that up. When we know who we are and we know his will and the purpose and the plan that he has for our life, fear starts to disintegrate. Do you catch me? Because we know who we are, because we perceive ourselves as the giver receives, right? So then we're able to ask because there's a clear relationship, a clear view of what's going on. And when we're seeking first his kingdom, when our goal is to align ourselves with God and what he's doing, we have no reason to come to the throne timidly. We just don't. In fact, we can come boldly. I have friends, I have several friends. But these particular friends, it's been on their heart to start a business for a long time. The business started as a dream they had years ago, separately and then together. Just a passion for something. An interest, really, that turned into a passion, that grew to a deep-seated desire to do something, that turned into a business idea. And how many of you know when something like that grows and it's a business idea, then all of a sudden you're faced with decisions. Should I do something with this? Should I not? God, how is this going to work out? Is this even in your will, right? We're talking about being in God's will. I remember so months and months and months ago talking to this guy, and he's asking that question. I don't even know if it's, gosh, I don't even know if I should do this. If it's in God's will, I don't even know. So what are we getting at? And over the course of months, we talk, what are you doing? What are you wanting to do? You have this passion for this thing. What is it that you're wanting to do? And the wanting to do is really, I want to create community where people can come and experience the love of God in their lives, and it can impact them forever. Regardless of what the passion is, the thing, if that's the goal, I'm here to tell you, you don't need to worry whether or not you're stepping into God's will. His plan and his will is to do just that. His plan and his will is to grow his kingdom, to build his church, for people to experience. You can keep clapping, because that's good. You can keep clapping. His plan is to have people experience the love of Christ in an incredible way. When we align with the will of God, when we seek ye first his kingdom, right? And so then later on when it's saying we're asking for things, and when you ask, right, you'll receive. When you seek, right, it's saying yes to those things. It's incredible. You don't have to worry whether or not you're in the will of God. And somebody in here needs to hear that this morning. I just know you do. God has a history of doing exactly as he pleases in the life of a believer, and he wants to do something in your life. And if he does, if he wants to do something in your life, he's going to do it. How many of you know that? Because his plans are always bigger and bolder and more life-giving and generationally impactful than we could possibly even come up with, right? Psalm 2, 7, 8. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I've become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance. The ends of the earth, your possession. Before the promise, it says, ask me, and I will do this. I already have this plan and this purpose for your life, but if you ask me, thus aligning your life with what my will is for you, I'm going to do this. Amen? That's what that's saying. He's a good father. He sees us. He knows us. He has plans for us. He desires to give us good things. In fact, it's his plan. It's his purpose and his plan to do that. Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. This is starting in verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will what? I will listen to you. You will seek me, and you will what? You will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Oh, by the way, he's speaking this to people, the Hebrews, who are exiled and who are not at home. The people who are exiled and they're not in any way, shape, or form in the life that they think that they should be living. They feel like they're just in a box like this, completely exiled from what they thought was their hope. And after essentially telling them earlier in that passage to say, look, be right there, be rooted, grow, plant houses, plant gardens, have kids, and ask for the nation that you're in to be blessed. And then he says, I have plans for you. I know the plans I have for you, and they are not plans to prosper you. Right? That was the word for that nation, and that is deeply, deeply intertwined with the character of God, and it is applicable for us today. Amen? I want to read this from Hebrews 4:16. When you talk about approaching boldly, approaching the throne boldly, that doesn't mean that doesn't mean all scatterbrained, and it doesn't mean like, God, give me this, and God, give me this. It's this. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And some of you right now are in the midst of your time of need. Come on, I know you are. I know you are. So earlier I had you turn to one side and I said, what are you asking? What are you seeking? Those are the questions. What are you asking God for? If you're like the psalmist David in the Psalms, that your asks, the things you want to ask could range from, God, hurry up, please, now help. To, hear me, please, just hear me, just listen. To, save me. And everything in between. And David was a man after God's own heart. And the Psalms are, that verbiage is everywhere in the Psalms. Can I have the band come back up? We're going to do two things. And we do these two things every service, and it's incredible. And it's amazing, and I love it. And we won't ever not do them. Pastor Jesse said that, I did. What are you asking for? What do you want to ask for? What are you questioning whether or not you can't even ask for? What are you questioning whether or not he even hears you? What are the things that you want to ask God for this morning? We're going to have prayer time in a little bit. We're going to open up the altar as we always do, and I want to encourage folks to come and pray. Spend some time with God up front here. And just ask him, because he sees you, and he knows you, and he loves you. He likes to hear from you. He's keen to respond to you. Just is. And some of you, when I was reading about what David says when he talks to God, when I said, save me, for some of you, that may have registered. God, save me. God, save me from the life that I've been living that I know is not the life that you've called me to. God, save me from the life of hopelessness that I feel. God, save me from this continual feeling of drowning and make me into something new. God, save me from being hopeless and give me a hope. God, give me a purpose because all I feel is despair. For some of you, that's the cry of your heart this morning, and I'm speaking to you right now because I want to introduce you, and we've been in an I don't even know how many minute introduction process to you of a man named Jesus Christ. Whew. And it's my prayer that there's folks in here that are wanting to meet him this morning for the first time, or to come back to him and say, oh, I just want to lay all this down. Just save me. Just save me. Lord, I make you the Lord of my life. Lord, I want to take a hard right turn where I've been going this way, and I just want to take a turn. Have my sins forgiven, my past forgiven, given a new life with hope. So for the folks that that's resonating with, we're going to pray, and we're all going to pray. We're going to pray a prayer that cries out asking for those very things from the one who loves you.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.